Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. And this is tape number one of Joel. We're not going to get into chapter one, but this is tape one of the book of Joel. But first, let's all go up to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to bless this tape, to bless and pour out His Spirit upon the message. Father God, we thank and praise Your holy name for the Holy Spirit, and we thank You for the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of Your Word. Your Word brings forth faith. It gives us faith when we read Your Word, and when we know Your Word, we begin knowing You. And the more of the Word we know, the more we know You. And when we know You, we can begin loving You. And when we know You a lot, we can begin loving You with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And this is the first commandment. And so we need to really read Your Word from Genesis to Revelation so that we can really love You the way that everyone should. And we must in order to keep the first commandment. And then we must know it well enough to where we prefer others before ourselves. For the entire commandments, the whole law and the prophets hangs on those two commandments there. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the faith that we've been receiving from it. Anoint the service, open up hearts and souls and the minds of every spirit and the spirits to receive that which You've prepared for us for this very day and age that we're living in. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, begin.
The literal meaning of the name Joel means Yahweh is God.
Yeah, that means that Yahweh is God. Now, this is a real common name in Israel. We even have a Joel in our church, Joel Swimmer. Amen?
Amen.
Joel is just a really common name in Israel. Okay, then go ahead.
This is a very common name in Israel, and the prophet Joel is the son specifically of Pethuel.
Yeah, he's... So the thing that makes Joel, this Joel that wrote the book of Joel, different from other Joels is that he is specifically the son of Pethuel. That's why it goes into the son of this person, the son of that person, so you can identify a name that is very common in Israel to a specific person, the writer of this book, Joel, the prophet. All right? Then what?
Amos and Isaiah borrowed statements from Joel, making him one of the earliest of what is called the minor prophets.
Right. Now, minor doesn't mean that they are little or littler than anyone. But their ministry, their writings, the things that they've scribed were less than Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. That's all. All right? So they're very essential. As a matter of fact, this is a very small book, but it really tells a lot of the judgment of the Lord and tells of the Holy Spirit coming into the world in the New Testament and tells of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it tells a lot and as much, I believe, as any other prophet in the Bible. And it is a very symbolic book as well. All right, then go ahead.
Compare Amos 1:2 with Joel 3:16.
Okay, do it.
Amos 1:2. And he said, "The Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither." Joel 3:16. "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel."
In other words, he's going to bring the tremendous judgment down on the people of the world that are not saved, but his people will, he'll bring power unto them, and they will be safe, and they will not be afraid or shaken when the Lord appears in the heavens, or when he causes the sun to be blotted out and the moon to turn to blood. It's going to terrify people in the world. But the people of the Lord that really have faith in the Lord, they know these things are going to happen, and they're going to rejoice when they see it rather than be terrified. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Also compare Isaiah 13:6 with Joel 1:15. Isaiah 13:6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty.
Amen. This is what I'm talking about. This has got to happen, is the sun refusing to give its light and the moon turning into blood. Now it's just, it'll just turn blood, or maybe some, it'll just turn red. It says blood, and I believe what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just say it's going to turn red. We've all seen the moon at one time or another, if you look upward at night, turn somewhat red, but this is going to be blood. All right, then what?
Joel 1:15. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Commentary continued. The worship of God was restored by the high priest Jehoiada. He restored the worship of God during the reign of Joash, 2 Kings 11:17. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people.
Okay, go ahead.
The worship of God was restored by the high priest Jehoiada.
Yes. What does that mean? Lydia, what does that mean?
I don't know.
You don't know. Didn't you ever read the Bible or meditate on the Word? It's what it says. Read it again.
The worship of God was restored by the high priest Jehoiada.
Right, and who was Jehoiada? He was one of the advisors of the king, and he was the high priest. He just got through saying what he was. Did you get that, anybody? That he was the high priest?
Yeah.
Where was he from, you people? Was he from Israel or Judah? You know, anybody? Judah. Okay, go ahead.
He restored the worship of God during the reign of Joash, 2 Kings 11:17.
Okay, read it, Sharon.
And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people.
Right, so he's saying that they're to be the Lord's people. That means that you're to worship him, and so he's restoring the worship of God in the land of Judah. Okay, then what?
Also 2 Chronicles 23:16.
This isn't any joke. I mean, if you people don't know, well, then listen and learn. But you can't listen if you're reading this this commentary like a machine gun. Okay, go ahead and read it, Sharon.
And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king, that they should be the Lord's people.
Okay, so there it is, twice. All right, then what?
This is the time frame of Joel. So it is assumed that Joel prophesied during the first 30 years of the reign of Joash.
Yeah. Yes, because a lot of people, I know you don't care, because you're just reading it like hickory dickory dock, but a lot of people want to know what the time frame was. When did this man prophesy? Did he prophesy before the Ezekiel? It doesn't matter to you, because you're not that hung up into the Word of the Lord, the Word of God, are you?
Yes.
Well, then how come it doesn't matter? How come you don't know it? Did he prophesy before Isaiah? or after Isaiah, because all the minor prophets were put together, so to speak, in one area, but some of them had prophesied before the carrying away unto Babylon of Israel. So was he a prophet before Ezekiel or Isaiah or Jeremiah, or was he after the carrying away? Okay, that's important. Read it again.
So it is assumed that Joel prophesied during the first 30 years of the reign of Joash, 835 through 796 B.C.
Right, it gives a time frame, right?
Yes.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
It was before Christ.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
He was in the Old Testament and not the New. Okay, then what?
This is when Jehoiada was the king's advisor.
Right. Then what?
This would place Joel's ministry around 835 through 805 B.C.
Yeah, just 800 years before the Lord. Then what?
Joel prophesied at a time
of... So they're saying that he was prophesying after the Babylonian carrying away and so on. But I don't know that that's true, because it's very vague in my studies as to when he really prophesied. But because of the fact that he's mentioned in Isaiah, and also twice in the Old Testament, that Isaiah must have known about him. So he would have been before that. Okay? Right? Before the carrying away. Well, what do you know about that? I mean, just logic, common sense tells you that. Amen?
Amen.
Before Ezekiel, before Isaiah and Jeremiah, because Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesied of the carrying away, and here Isaiah mentions him, so it couldn't have been after him, could it? No, I don't think so. Okay, then what? So this is what most people say, right? So it could fool you. You might think that he prophesied after. No, it was before Isaiah and Jeremiah. You know why? Because some people might ask you, you might run into some college students, university students from theological seminaries, and they may ask you questions like this, which may seem to you to be trivia, but then they'll be more impressed with your witness if you're able to answer questions like this. And that's why I'm making an attempt to teach you, so that you can... you know, they think you're just young people, and you'll be able to out-Bible them. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
So, it's not going to hurt your brain to know these things, will it?
No.
Would you just die or feel any pain because you learned that?
Yeah.
No. All right, then what?
Joel prophesied at a time of great devastation to the entire land of Judah.
Yes. How do we know that? Because it says so in the book of Joel, right? In the opening statements, it tells how that there was this great big plague of this locust. And in the original Hebrew, it says the chewing locust. I mean, this is also symbolic of that the word of God has been taken away, but it also says that when people don't forget God, they get wealthy. They get a few bucks in their pocket and they forget all about God. But, you know, I've learned to be abased and I've learned how to abound. I've had finances when I've been a Christian, and then I've been where we didn't have anything at all. And I still carried on in the Lord. And you still have to carry on in the Lord, no matter how much, if the Lord really blesses you with an abundance of finances. This is the worst temptation that ever happened, to get your mind off the Lord. People start setting their mind on shopping, clothes, different kinds of foods and delicacies, and shoes and traveling and all these sort of things. But and it's dangerous. But the true people of the Lord, whether they've got finances or not, their heart is stayed upon the Lord, and nothing turns them. Amen?
Amen.
You'll find out if I ever, whenever I get anything, lots of money, or it comes in, I'm going to send gospel tracts out, or I'm going to build, or I'm going to do something with the money. It's not, my heart is not set on the money. And you'll see that I still keep preaching, okay, and teaching the word of the Lord to people like you, Lydia. Read the statement again.
Joel prophesied at a time of great devastation to the entire land of Judah.
Right, there is this plague of locusts, the crawling locusts, the flying locusts, the chewing locusts, and so on. And in the original, may mention these things, but it was definitely recorded in history that there was a tremendous plague of locusts that with their teeth they destroyed Judah. They destroyed the vineyards, the vines, so that the drinker could no longer drink wine, and the priests could no longer give sacrifices unto the Lord with these burnt offerings, because they all died because there wasn't any more grass. There wasn't fruit on the trees. The trees, there was no leaves. There was nothing. It utterly destroyed them. And the Lord stated that if people would forget God, that he would send, Moses said that he would send the locust. Amen?
Yeah.
Now it's amazing, you know, how God got rid of the giants. The people of Israel were afraid of the giants. The Lord told them to go and get them. And of course the Lord would have got them out of there. But they didn't believe in, they don't trust in God. And so God sent a band of hornets, like a swarm of them, and ran all the giants out of the land. And that's what happened here, is God sent another insect to destroy Judah because of their sins. And God sends little bugs to people, little viruses, little bacteria in their blood, just a little thing like that. He doesn't have to smash you because you're not that big. You're just little creeps that don't keep your eye on the Lord, right? And he can send a little bug, a little virus, and just wipe you out. Even a smaller insect or virus or bug than he did the giants, which had little hornets and these little grasshopper-type looking creatures. Locusts. He totally devastated Judah with them. How could we, big, strong people? Well, four armies of them marched in with no other weapon but their teeth and ate all the foliage so that the cattle had nothing and the sheep had nothing and the goats had nothing and the humans had nothing to eat. And they starved to death, and there was this famine. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And there was like drought, all sorts of everything that was had to do with the plague like that. And God is sending many plagues out, but people can live right in the middle of a plague and not realize that it's God doing it. We have a plague today of AIDS, and yet people still go out and have deviant sex because they think God will never get them. But God got every blade of grass. Every single blade of grass. He didn't leave one blade of grass unturned. Each one had a special ministry. It was to minister to the locust. Amen?
Amen.
And many plagues come, like leukemia, diseases of the blood, because you don't believe in God and you don't want to worship Him. There's things more important to you than the Lord. Okay, so let's continue reading. Maybe you got the message a little bit, okay? Huh?
Yes.
So far. Okay, then what?
There was an enormous plague of locusts, which had totally stripped the countryside of all vegetation. It destroyed the pastures of both the sheep and the cattle, even stripped the bark off the fig trees.
Yeah, Joel says it stripped the bark. These little creatures actually ate the bark right off of fig trees. Amen?
Yeah.
And all this is symbolic also of the false prophets that strip the word of God of any truth. The ones that are preaching the gospel today, they say, but it's not the gospel because it's laced with all other type of corruption. It's like false prophecy, false word of God. And no one can eat that. No one can eat fallacy any more than you can eat plastic fruit and vegetables and get any power out of it. Amen?
Amen.
The power is the word. Christ is the word. And if it isn't the real word, if it's some plastic or false or some false version of God's word, there's no nutrition in that to keep your soul powerful enough to for your body to rise from the dead. I believe in the resurrection of the body. You know, if the same spirit or the same word of God is in you that was in Christ, then on the last day he'll raise your body, which is his body. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you use it for his word, then that's the foliage and the things of the figs. When the fig doesn't bring forth fruit, well, the Lord withered it even to the roots. Amen?
Amen.
Because any tree that doesn't bring forth good fruit shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Lord came into the world to save souls. Human beings. Okay, so all these animals and locusts, and it's just a symbolic of different human beings. And God inspired Joel to bring this message in symbols of the real thing by bringing forth this plague of locusts to strip the whole land of everything. All right? All right, then go ahead.
In just a few hours, that which once was a beautiful, flourishing land had then become a place of desolation and destruction.
Right, I mean, if your body, if one little piece of bacteria gets into your blood, like AIDS or leukemia, you're a goner. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be haughty. The air is filled with bacteria that they say that even the scientists, no one is able, or today's magicians and soothsayers are able to do anything with, because it's from the Lord. And you can't stop the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Descriptions of recent destructive power of swarms of locusts compare to confirm Joel's description or picture of the big plague in his time.
See, we have big plagues in this time. We've got water pollution, air pollution, radiation, this problem of the ozone and the heat, the sun's rays, and so on. We've got Ebola, AIDS, leukemia. These are all plagues. Starvation, drought. There's like Africa. You don't have clean water. They're drinking sewer water over there. They're trying to just siphon out the different pieces of dung, you know, to try to get a glass that doesn't have quite so much dung in it. Okay? And even the water here in the United States, especially in the major cities, has been drunken and voided some 300, 400, 500 times. So it's been drunken by its other people and then urinated out and then processed and then several hundred times, and then it comes to you for a drink. And you think, and you're, some people are so lame that they're living in this plague, these plagues, and they're too stupid to even know it. Even the president has to drink these cheerful glasses of water. You know? They say, well, it's bottled, yes, but it's been processed. Okay? It's been in somebody before, or several bodies. All right? I know it's not a good subject, especially if you're listening to this tape while you're eating or drinking. But nevertheless, it's the truth. All right, then what else?
The plague of locusts Joel wrote about was greater than anyone had ever seen.
Right, and this plague today that we have today is greater than anyone has ever seen. As a matter of fact, the Bible, the book of Joel says, you old men that have lived a long time ago, did you ever see anything like this before? Some of us that are 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, and 100 years old that are living today, we never saw anything like this before. When I was a kid, everything was beautiful. There was no air pollution or water pollution. I mean, we could just drink out of the stream, you know, and it's just the best tasting water in the world. And that's why some of us are pretty strong today, you know. And there was no AIDS or any of the other. There's thousands of different diseases today that the people are not. I've talked to doctors at the hospital. They say there's AIDS diseases here worse than AIDS. There's all kinds of rashes all over people that never had rashes before in their lives. They have a lack of energy. The earth is waxed old and is refusing to give her strength to you. People have to be on nutritional aids and everything, and some of the people that make these nutrition of these vitamins and minerals are unscrupulous, and they don't really have in them the things that they advertise that they have. You might as well be eating sawdust. But what good you get out of sawdust? It's mainly just a filler sawdust, you know. Okay, and then what? There's just so much of the chapter 24 of the book of Matthew being done right before our eyes. All the earthquakes, it used to be there's only one earthquake a day or in a week. There's as of around 20 years ago, there was 10,000 earthquakes a day. And the Bible says that there would be earthquakes in different places, diverse places, everywhere. They're everywhere now. There's just like a continuous earthquake now. If you have 10,000 earthquakes a day, that's probably one a second or something like that. I haven't, you know, done any division on it, but it's a lot. We're living in the last days. We're into tribulations. At least halfway into them or more, you see the great falling away of the church, and you see also that the Jews are being saved, the elect, and they're preaching the gospel. All these are final signs of the end time. So wake up, everybody. You know, you're paying so too much attention to television is telling you everything is all right, and that you should be... Everybody should be bopping at the hop, at the high school hop. Everyone, you just turn on and everything is like music is exalted. You got all these jungle sounds and everything. You're supposed to get like the apes or something, you know, and bob back and forth, and that will be highly educational for you. And in the meantime, up from heaven, there's a stillness up there, and the Lord is watching this whole scene down here. And he's ready to strike suddenly without notice. And then you won't be jumping around like a bunch of apes or thinking you're so cool wearing your baseball hats backwards and doing, you know, the Watusi. I mean, I know that's long over because that was happening when I was out in the world around 40 years ago. But, we all know what they're doing today and all these sex places and everything. All the different things you see, I don't have to tell you. You see it. But you're too stupid to know that you're living in the hour of temptation. And you're living in the hour of great plagues. Now these people that couldn't eat, that'll be the next one for you where you can't eat. There's famines all over Africa and India. People starving to death. You see these food for life programs on, they say that 40,000 kids died last night. Probably another 40 will die tomorrow. Or 20,000 died today from a lack of food. If that isn't a famine, I don't know what is. Okay, so these are plagues, Nummy. Nimrod, okay, wake up. You're living in the tribulations. Don't let these false prophets tell you that you're going to be raptured out of the tribulations, because you're going to be confronted with the mark of the beast. And if you take it, the Lord says that's the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because there's no forgiveness for that here on earth or in heaven. Some of you just living for today. You got a few bucks in your pocket. Oh, you just went hog wild, didn't you? Go and get yourself a new dress. And you need to get a new bar of soap and scrub yourself up. Okay, keep reading.
All crops were lost, and the seed crops for the next year's planting were destroyed.
Yeah, if you've never been a farmer, what you do is from the crop that you have this year, you take the best of it and take the seeds out of it to save it for the next. That's the seed crop. You save those seeds for the next crop when you're going to plant, okay? You don't take the worst ones. You take the very best. Like if you see tomatoes, you take the best-looking tomatoes, and then you dry them out, take the seeds from them, and then you start planting those seeds. You have to dry them out first, and then you plant them when the next season comes. And then that also always produces a better quality tomato.
A famine and drought had seized the entire land.
Yeah, a drought, that means no food and no water. Okay, now you're drinking water, but you know, don't look under it, you know, with the microscope. And some of the food you're getting today too. Because you might be, what do they call that, where that girl died, anorexic? Yeah, you might become an anorexic. That's what she did. She looked under a microscope and she didn't want to eat those worms. And everything she saw had worms in it. And so she just would rather have starved to death. But you're not in a famine, right? You need all the worms you want, though. Okay, then what?
Both people and animals were dying.
Right, they were dying. And they're dying today, right in front of your eyes. They show it on television. And they ask for food. And so we contact an organization that we're affiliated with. And we do, you know, we just do what the Lord says to do, right? Amen? Amen. Okay, what else?
It was so profound and disastrous, and the Lord commanded Joel to prophesy the cause of the plague and show it to be the judgment of the Lord.
Yes. What's happening today is the judgment of the Lord, and it's going to get worse, the Bible says. Okay, let's go.
Jesus said, the word is seed.
Yes. The word, in the parable of the sower, of the seed, the Lord tells us that the world is the field, and that the seed is the word, or the word is the seed. And we save the best seed for the crop that we want to have. If we want good fruit and good vegetables, we sow the best seed. And the best seed that there is in the world is the Word of God, because with the Word of God, no matter what kind of plagues hit the earth, the children of the Lord don't have to worry at all, because we're in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And we have protection. It's like, you know, there's been a depression, you know, and I heard Mr. Kennedy saying, you know, President Kennedy, saying that, you know, I was in school and I heard that there was a depression. But he heard about it because he didn't know as far as hunger is concerned that there was a depression. He just heard about it. Well, that's what we Christians, there's a depression all over the world right now, but we don't know about it, right?
Right.
We heard about it. And that is some people that are starving on the streets. They say, what do you mean you heard of it? We're out here in it. In case those of you would like to go out into the world, if you think there's something out there that's of any value, like all the plagues that are there, and also the famine, the drought, and also the poverty, the depression, the lack of funds. And there's also inflation today where everything is, I can't even believe it. If it wasn't for the Lord, it would, like, scare me. you know, because I remember when things were a lot cheaper than they are today. You used to go get a loaf of bread for 10 cents, or sometimes a nickel if it's day old, or sometimes they give it to you. And then like $10 a pound for a certain steak. You used to get it for like 50 cents to a dollar was a lot. We in the American Health Studies were making $1.9 million a month. That's what it averaged at. And that was like $20 million, $30 million today. That'd be something to be making $30 million a month, amen?
Amen.
Well, that's what we were doing back there when we were in our 20s. Okay? $30 million a month. We were registered on the Fortune 500 as the fastest growing company in the world. Because it was health. American Health Studios, so that figure for me. You check it out back there in the 50s. 55, 56, 57, 58, 59. You'll find out my testimony is true. Okay, then what? Come on.
Jesus said, "Destroy or neglect me, the word, and I, God, will curse you, your children, your land, everything."
Your seed, yeah. So you got that marked, right?
Yes.
Read it.
Okay. Deuteronomy 28:15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God."
No, you get a few bucks in your pocket and you think you're above the word of God all of a sudden. That's why I say when you're poor, everybody calls out to God. But when you've got a couple of bucks in your pocket and you think it belongs to you rather than God, you're an idiot. Because you don't listen to God anymore. You don't need God. Well, you're just the one that will be out on the streets. Because you cannot keep that kind of attitude in this church. Okay, keep going.
"If thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments."
All of them. Then what?
"And his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store."
Yeah, now she reads that with meaning. That's, I mean, you can tell the true meaning of the word is there, right? Yeah, because the word means something to her. Then what?
"Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit..."
Yeah, I mean, your child, there's something wrong with him. There's some kind of a curse on him. God made the body. He can heal it instantly, or he can make it to where it's cursed. Leukemia, cancer, heart trouble. These are all plagues, people. Amen?
Amen.
Because people don't listen to the Lord. They think they're above it. Then what?
"Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep."
That means your cattle and your sheep will be cursed. They'll have these cattle and the sheep will get pregnant, but the cattle or the sheep will be retarded or like inferior, lean, sick. Then what?
"Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doing, whereby thou hast forsaken me."
Yeah, that is as wicked as you can get, if somebody doesn't care anything about the Lord. And you just wonder, because they're always the ugliest, nothingness people that I've ever seen in my life. Just nothing. They don't amount to a hill of beans. And they puff up themselves bigger than God. I've never seen, you know, really highly intelligent people ever do that. I mean, that are, call themselves Christians. Then what else?
"The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee."
The pestilence is like all these diseases. Oh God, please, please heal me. But the Lord says, you want healing for you. But what are you going to do for me? I called you to let me live in your body. You're shaped like a container, like me, and you look like me, and you're supposed to be a container to contain me. I made you to be a glove for me, the hand, to get in and start doing my work, and you shine me on. And so you're going to get sick, you're going to get blind, you're going to totally blind, you're going to be gone. And then in the end, you're going to be in hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee
until... Yeah, the mildew is, you know, all these different skin problems that people have. And all kinds of other... There's so many things wrong with people. I don't know of anybody that's just perfect anymore. Do you?
No.
I don't either. Everybody's jacked up. Okay, what else?
And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass.
In other words, nothing will get through to the Lord. No prayer. See, because you forget God until you need something. You're just selfish. And so the only time you call out to him is when you're getting more and more jacked up. And he's not going to listen to you. If you just continue in the way that you're going. I wouldn't wait till that day comes to where the heaven is brass. Okay, let's go.
And the earth that is under thee shall be iron.
Yeah, don't even try to plant anything in iron. It doesn't come up. Right? Uh-huh. Put a water iron and see anything come out of it? No, you never will. Then what else?
The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away.
Yeah, you know, and in this chapter, the first chapter of Joel, he talks about, if you think that this famine is something, he says, wait till you see the final judgment of God. It says it right in the book of Joel. If you think this, these pestilences and all these plagues that are coming down are something, this is nothing in comparison. You ain't seen nothing yet until you see the judgment of God. That's what it says in Joel. That's, you know, this is a great book, isn't it?
Amen.
It's a little more interesting than meets the eye, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, then what?
The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the...
The emerods, that's hemorrhoids, in case you don't know it. All right? Bleeding hemorrhoids. Okay, then what?
And with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and...
Yeah, insanity. Madness is insanity. And I just don't know many people today that aren't insane. Especially the world leaders. They're pretty much insane, don't you think?
Yeah.
Blowing each other up and trying to get everybody else blown up too. Then what else?
The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shalt not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them.
Okay, well, who were the enemies of the people back in the time of Joel? The locust. Wasn't it?
Yes.
God sends an enemy into the land. You always picture that it's going to be these Germans with these helmets on. And boots, you know. Yeah. Or the Russians. No! Who was the enemy of the giants?
The hornets.
The hornets, yes. You got the picture now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And who is the enemy of the people that have leukemia? And also the people that have AIDS. Because they wanted to have all these different things going for them, you know. But they've wound up contacting AIDS and Ebola and heart trouble. They want to eat whatever they want. But even though the Lord tells you that you're not supposed to eat whatever you want, you're supposed to put the knife to your throat. You're supposed to eat according to what it states in the book of Genesis, that he put herbs in the field and he put apples on the trees and different fruits and vegetables. And then after man sins, then they have to eat a little bit of meat, but you get too much of it in your stomach and you're going to rot. There's some people that's got to have meat or cheese every day. And if you do that, you're going to die younger because these things bring forth death. You don't have much energy because you're eating so much meat and cheese and dairy products, putting them into your body to where you don't. It takes all your energy to digest them, and you're eating too much, and so therefore you're fat, and you don't have any energy, and you just keep saying, "Oh God, heal me. God will not heal me. God is not real." No, you're not real. You don't follow his word. You don't believe his word. Because if you believe his word, you're going to do as he says, do all things in moderation, such as eating. Amen?
Amen.
And the things you eat. He tells you exactly what to eat. And it's not lobster, pork, and all these things like people say. That's not food. Those are scavengers to clean up the earth. Then what else?
Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up.
Right, the nations that we used to fight in World War II have got all of our industry now. They've got our automobiles, they've got our clothing industry, the Japanese and Chinese. And we don't have any industry here anymore. And you're too stupid to know it. And who did that? What's the United Nations that love you so much? That's why people are out of work and on the streets. Homeless. Because you're cursed. Because you don't read the Word of God and do what it says. You just do your own thing, so to speak. And a lot of the people out in the world have to keep two jobs, and their wives have to go out and work around men, unscrupulous men. And that's why there's all the adultery going in the world today. And you don't know that you're cursed. Because you don't read the Word of God and see, you never knew what the good life was. You wanted the things of this world, the corruption, the curses, rather than the things of the Lord. Let's continue.
And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone.
And also be thrown into the gas chambers you choose. Okay, then what? You went to Germany. You went to Poland, Czechoslovakia, where you got to go into the ovens. Then what?
and thou shalt become as astonishment, an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it.
Ah, there it is. The locust shall consume it. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes.
Oh, see, the wine drinker, the booze hound, is not going to get anything to drink on top of everything else. And, you know, they're going to start getting the shakes, you know, because if they don't get some alcohol in their system, they start going through the DTs, so to speak. Any of you ever see that happen? I did. I've seen it so plenty. Not me personally, because I've never been a drinker. Okay, but anyway, there's a lot more. Amen?
Amen.
And so this tape will take forever. We just keep going. But, you know, just if you got something wrong with you, you know, get right with the Lord if you want to get healed. Amen?
Amen.
And stay right with Him. Okay, then what else?
The commentary continued. Joel is divided into two sections. The first, chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 27, deals with the judgment at hand from God and the future judgment of God.
Right, the future judgment is the final judgment. Okay, then what else?
It is also a call to repent. And if they will...
So, you know, you true people of the Lord, the true preachers, they bring people, they preach judgment, but they also say, you know, if you'll just repent, you know, there's salvation for you. Amen?
Amen.
Because you can't forget God's mercy. Amen?
Amen.
But that's only if you repent. And repent means a total change of mind and you stay that way. You don't keep drifting back into the world or into your own mind, because your mind is made out of the same dirt your feet are and your toenails, and so they're not worth much, the mind. We have to go by the mind of the Lord, and His word is His mind. Amen?
Amen.
He speaks His mind, and we're to speak His mind, too. Okay?
Amen.
Then what?
It is also a call to repent, and if they will return to God the word, to obey Him and forsake all false doctrine, false seed, which is rotten, there is a promise of restoration.
Yeah, God will restore you if you just... We are restored by just putting on the word. Amen?
Amen.
Restored to what? Restored back to the Lord. Amen? And to the life of blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
God, through Moses, gave a sermon warning Israel.
Yeah, here's Moses saying, you know, that I'll send the locust. Now listen to this. Let's read it again.
God, through Moses, gave a sermon warning Israel that if the nation and all nations were... or would be disobedient, quote, locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land.
Right there, see, Moses predicted that. And then all of a sudden they saw Moses' prediction come true. Amen?
Amen.
Now Moses was definitely before Joel. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
Joel told the people of Israel that the day of that prophecy had happened.
Yeah, that, you see everybody? What Moses said is happening right now. You're all starving to death. And I'm saying the same thing today. Amen?
Amen.
Because the starvation is on, but it's not for food for your body so much, except for people in Africa and the people right here in the United States. Many of them are starving to death. But there's this great starvation for the Word of God. If people starve themselves forth. They're sitting with Bibles in their houses and they never pick them up. And they keep wondering, well, we don't have time to read the Bible. You better take the time to read it, because God will start blessing you right away. Amen?
Amen.
I know the Lord told me we were absolutely not able to do anything, hardly, without... And the Lord told me to start reading the Bible. And I said, but Lord, you know, I'm doing a tract a month. And he said, yeah, but these people, you know, that your tracts are not going to feed them. He says, because I was complaining to him that the people in the church were not reading the Bible, and if they were reading, it's for sure they don't know what it's saying. And so he said, you read to him then. And I said, you want me to read to him? Well, then I will. But I'm going to just really be confined then. I just not even going to be able to have hardly budge out of this house or budge off of that my chair that I write in.
And so the minute that I did, we've been blessed more than ever before. And I haven't moved out of this house or the chair, and it's just coming in. Blessings from every area, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So see, if you just start doing what the Lord wants you to do, you're going to notice an immediate change in your life. It just happened that from that very day. Amen?
Amen.
Man, the next day it hit. Somebody called up and says, good news. I said, Tommy did. And I said, what, Tommy? He says, $50,000 just came in. Amen?
Amen.
Then the next day it was like $100,000 come in from somebody else. And then another $30,000 come in every day. It's like money. Money that we needed so desperately to pay our bills. We were $350,000 in debt. And it's all got paid off. Amen?
Amen.
And now we needed a warehouse, and we needed recreational facility for people. I've been wanting that for years. He says, this is what I want you to do. And he's showing me by just blessing us every day. Amen?
Amen.
I don't do the banking. But I'll tell you, the people that go to the bank, they know the difference. I'm just the pastor of this church, and I'm on a salary. That's all I get. And the IRS says I have to be on a salary because they don't believe, you know, that I'm not getting anything. Well, I get food, and that's enough for me, and my clothes, or my just a place to lie down. I have a room in this building. And so, you know, everybody's benefiting. Amen?
Amen.
And we're able to send, we were like a couple of hundred, $200,000, $300,000 behind on shipping out tracks, and they're gone. We're up to date, are we not?
Yeah.
We're up to date now with our tracks, sending them out. Isn't that something?
Amen. Yeah.
And I'm just going to keep reading every day. The Lord said, I'm just going to keep reading through the Bible. As long as I'm alive, I'm just going to do a chapter or so per day. Okay? Sometimes two chapters. Because people are getting, and the people in the church are receiving it, and so the Lord is blessing us, all right?
Amen.
So isn't there a great difference in being not blessed and being blessed?
Yes.
If I would have known that this is what the Lord wanted me to do a long time ago, I would have started up, because we wouldn't have gone through all the suffering, the bills and all that. And we were having to go get loans. Now we don't have to get loans. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now we can loan. Amen?
Amen.
We can lend out to different churches. And that's, you know, what we do. We help other churches. Because I think are winning souls, and I can see that they are. Some preachers and people that, you know, need stuff. Okay, then what else?
Joel told the people of Israel that the day of that prophecy has happened. It has.
Right, there it is. Here it is right before your eyes, kid. You realize you haven't got any food? Well, you didn't realize it before, but now you're hungry, and that brings some reality to you, doesn't it? And then you don't have nothing to drink. Yeah, that the dawn hits, right? The day star arises in your hearts. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, then what?
It had come just as we see the prophecies are being fulfilled today.
Yeah, the prophecies of the curses are being fulfilled today. Amen?
Amen.
And the plagues. Wars and rumors of wars. Amen?
Amen.
Hardness of heart. Love waxing cold. People lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. It's like these Beatles even stated. I own a Beatles album, and I had something to do with them. And still I communicate, and Pete Best communicates with me. I was his world manager. And he still wants me to manage him to this very day. And he's mentioning me as his promoter, and the one that got him all the money from the Beatles. I got several million dollars for him from the Beatles. They were saying that they were more popular than Jesus Christ, you know, and that's why I don't put their album out, their album. I've never released it. And I've been told it's worth over $100 million. Now, Yoko Ono gets on the television, and she says, in the beginning was the Beatles. And she just keeps wanting curses. Amen?
Amen.
Well, what could be worse of a curse than to have all the money he had and then to get out of his car and get riddled with five bullets in his body and die? and leave all that money to a woman that he was pulling her hair out before he died. And now she wants to continue that. I don't give her much space. Okay, what else? In the beginning was God. Amen?
Amen.
The Beatles. God, that's a joke. Okay, what else? The biggest joke. What else?
We see the prophecies are being fulfilled today. They have come, yet the people still doubt the word of God and hate it.
Doesn't matter how much they hate, he's still going to pour the juice on them. Amen?
Amen.
Curses. Then what?
Four armies of false prophets had been allowed to pollute the truth of God's word. So God sent four armies of four waves of these army-type creatures to consume everything they had been given by God.
Everything that's in the land. Then what else?
The drinkers neglected the word. Now the drinkers have no wine. The priest refused to preach the truth, so now they have nothing to offer. God symbolically...
No burnt offerings to offer on their altar, because all the sheep and the cattle had died. Then what?
So now they have nothing to offer God, symbolic of Christ in sacrifice to God. The farmers and vine dressers have nothing to do, no vines to care for.
Guess they're all eaten up by the locusts. Okay, then what else?
There is not one part of Judah's life that has not been dramatically damned.
Yeah, the people of Judah's lives, okay, that have not been damned by God. Then what?
The second section, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through chapter 3, verse 21, explains that this plague, as horrible as it was, is paled, small, nothing in comparison to the judgment of God which is coming. Much of it is already happening.
That's what Joel said. If you people think this is something, it's nothing, you know, in so many words, in comparison to what the judgment of God is going to be on Judgment Day. Then what?
Today's judgment does not apply to Judah only.
The judgments and the plagues that we see today is not only to one little nation, but the plagues that we see today are for the whole world. The whole world is being plagued right now. Okay, then what else?
This is the time when all nations of the world are realizing the effects, not only the beginning of sorrows, but are in sorrow.
They're into sorrows up to their necks, and some of them over their heads. Then what else?
Quote, there is no peace, and soon all the people of all nations will be called before God for final judgment. Just as all creatures are silent before a tornado, so also shall the sounds of locusts be silent, muted, as the Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, his people. The heavens and earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel.
Okay, well, the Lord is going to shake the world terribly, but the people of the Lord will not be shaken by it whatsoever. Okay, read that again and hurry.
Okay. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, his people. The heavens and earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel.
So when the heavens and earth are shaken, and the people are hoping in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And they know if they have faith in the Lord, they have hope that they're going to be saved. And they know that he can't lie, so they're not going to be shaken when they see the moon turning to blood and the sun being blotted out, and the earth being shaken and being drunken, being moved off of its axis like and rolling back and forth like a drunkard for the world's world quake. Okay, then what?
That's Joel 3:16.
Okay, read it real fast.
The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel.
Right, and I love the... Keep going.
The born-again children of God can remain calm, but the unsaved world at large will be frozen with fear when terrifying heavenly events take place. Prophecies are being fulfilled. the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Joel 2:31.
The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come.
Great and terrible. Well, I thought God is just love. But no, he says, I'm a terrible God to those that don't keep his commandments, that don't pay any attention to him, that are bored with him, that love other books rather than the Bible. Then what?
This will be none other than the great and awesome day of the Lord come. Quote, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered from the wrath of God.
Can you read the line before that?
This will be none other than the great and awesome day of the Lord come. Quote, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered from the wrath of God.
Right, this is telling us that not only Jews will be saved then, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Gentiles too, if they really mean business with the Lord, okay? Then what?
For in Mount Zion, the nation of Christ, and in Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church, shall be deliverance from God's wrath.
Let's read the first thing.
For in Mount Zion.
Yes, Mount Zion. Mount Zion means the nation of Israel. Okay, do you know who the nation of Israel is?
That are saved.
Right. It is all Jews are not Jews. All Israel is not Israel. Okay, now go down to Israel.
And in Jerusalem.
What Jerusalem is nothing more than a symbol of the new Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. And in Jerusalem what?
In Jerusalem shall be deliverance from God's wrath.
Right, so in the new Jerusalem, the new nation of the Lord, there shall be deliverance from the wrath of God. All right?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
As the Lord hath said, and in the remnant of the elect whom the Lord shall call.
Right. Okay, the remnant, now, the line before that.
And in Jerusalem shall be deliverance from God's wrath, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant of the elect whom the Lord shall call.
Right, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means the people of Judah, Jerusalem, and the rest of the world will be saved. And then the elect Jews. Okay, what else?
Joel 2:32.
Read it.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance.
The nation of the Lord, and in Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, shall be what?
Deliverance.
Shall be deliverance. So there's no deliverance other than in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what that's foretelling of the end time where the Lord's coming to the world. All right?
Yes.
Because you don't get saved by being in Israel. Only in the new Israel, the new covenant. Okay, then what else? Which consists of Jews and Gentiles. Then what?
For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
The remnant is the Jews, all right?
Joel prophesies the inauguration of the church age. This started on the day of
Pentecost. Prophesying of the inauguration of the church age. Well, when was the inauguration of the church age? On the day of Pentecost, all right?
Yes.
That's when the church age began, when the Holy Spirit came down, because Jesus promised that he was going to send the Holy Spirit into this world. God prophesied it in the book of Joel here in the Old Testament. He's going to send the Holy Spirit down into the world, into his people. And they would be his people, not people from Israel, from this worldly Israel, but from the Israel that is the New Jerusalem, the people that are the body of Christ, that hope in the resurrection of the body. Because I'll tell you one thing, if your body is resurrected, so your spirit will be saved. But if your body is not resurrected, your spirit will not be saved. Okay, then what? I believe in the resurrection of the body. I believe that my spirit will be resurrected from the dead. And I believe that people that want to go to heaven have to have their spirits resurrected from the dead right here and now. Then what else?
This started on the day of Pentecost.
Keep going, hurry.
Acts chapter 2.
Okay.
Now all people everywhere can call on the name of the Lord and be saved, forgiven for their old sinful life, and become participants in the kingdom of God. Through the indwelling of God in Jesus by the Holy Spirit, the church becomes the body of Christ in the world.
Right. Through Christ, God the Father, in Christ, dwelling in his in people here, we become his body. And the Spirit in us is what moves his body. If you're not his body, you're not moved by the Holy Spirit. You're dead. Now read that back again.
Through the indwelling of God in Jesus by the Holy Spirit.
And the indwelling, that means God in Jesus dwelling in you. Okay, the indwelling of the Spirit. I mean, indwelling means in you, okay? Then what?
The church becomes the body of Christ in the world.
Yes, the church, we who are his church, members of his body, are become his body in this world. All right?
Yes.
Then what?
The redemptive purposes of God are therefore extended.
Right, so in other words, the purpose of God is the redemption of people's souls. So the redemption purpose of the Lord does what? Extends out to the Gentiles and everybody in the world, all the nations. But doesn't mean they're going to accept him. Most of them will not. Then what?
The redemptive purposes of God are therefore extended and made available through every spirit-filled believer.
Right, and it's available to everybody, but only to chiefly those who believe. They will receive him. Then what?
This is the time in which we now live.
Right, now we're living in the time of redemption. Amen?
Amen.
Where God gives us the power to be and the guidance. Because if he's living in our body, then it's obvious that he wants to guide our bodies, his body. Okay? If you don't care about the Spirit guiding you, then you're not his body. The main purpose for him entering your body, him to enter you, is that you now become him. And that the main reason for his Spirit in you is to, and you become his body, for him, the Spirit, to guide his body around on earth. Okay, then what?
Ours is the wonderful privilege of not only to experience salvation ourselves, but also of being those who bring the good news to all in every nation, especially those who will listen and obey what Joel was to ravage Judah.
Right, say, in other words, like we're the Joel of this era of time, as Joel was himself, the spokesman of the Lord in Judah at that time. Not Israel, Judah. Okay? By asking in the beginning, where was it? You know, nobody says, everybody says, no, it's Judah, okay?
Yes.
And why did God want Judah to repent? Because Jesus is the lion from the tribe of Judah. We all have to become members of the tribe of Judah in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. All right?
Yes.
Then what else?
The church is to a ravaged world, namely a prophetic voice.
Yes. We are to the ravaged world a prophetic voice of the Lord. Okay, we're prophets to this ravaged world. It's full of sickness, disease, pestilence, pollution, crime, every filthy thing on the face of the earth. And we are to be the prophets of this world as he was in the land of Judah. Amen? As Joel was in the land of Judah. Then what?
The church is to a ravaged world, namely a prophetic voice, bringing God's truth into clear focus, calling for repentance and extending the hope of salvation from the final and terrible day of the Lord. The message of Joel is concise and clear. Again, if you think the plague of locusts is bad, wait until you see the final judgment of the Lord.
Like, in other words, like Jolie said, you ain't heard nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet, okay? Wait till you see the fireworks, the real fireworks. Amen?
Amen.
There's going to be sparks going upward and sparks going downward. And those sparks are human souls. Then what else?
But as every true prophet of God, Joel does not stop with only the prediction of doomsday, the final judgment of God. He clearly also announces the day of Christ, the day of God's power, which is called grace. Christ revealed. Joel looked forward.
Well, Christ revealed in the book of Joel. Okay, then go ahead. So the first part is judgment and then Jesus. Okay, go ahead.
Joel looked forward to the time the Lord would bring judgment to the enemies of God and of God's people, Israel.
Yeah, in other words, the people of Israel, the people, us. We're the people of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
We have to become Israelites or Jews in order to make it into the kingdom of heaven. A Jew is one that believes in God. It isn't somebody that's got a hooked nose. Some of you got stubby noses and pug noses and skinny noses and short noses and pointed noses. It has nothing to do with the noses.
Joel looked forward to the time the Lord would bring judgment to the enemies of God and of God's people Israel, parentheses, now the body of Christ, when the nations would be called to give account for their actions. He also saw a day of great plenty, flowing like a great spiritual river of the righteous rain of the Lord in Zion.
The Lord Jesus Christ in Zion. What is Zion? What's Zion? Hmm? That's the nation of God, Mount Zion, right?
Right.
Nations are, or mountains are symbolic of nations in the Bible. So when he says Mount Zion, that's the nation of God, the nation of the New Jerusalem, Israel. Amen?
Amen.
If there's anything more important or you just got to be in a hurry to go someplace, then go. This is more important to me than anything in the world, is to get the word out.
Amen.
Okay? Or you don't fall asleep when you're reading, like Lydia. Okay, what else?
The container or instrument through which these great events would take place or come to pass was the Messiah. Jesus is the one who will bring this age to a close, defeating his enemies, rewarding his church, and setting up his final kingdom of righteousness. Furthermore, it is Jesus who promised to his church the coming of the Spirit in response to his finished work of redemption and return to the Father. John 14:15-18, 16:5-24.
We'll just read one at a time, please.
Okay.
Yeah, and so the big, this thing is happening through us. We're the body of Christ. All the preaching is through us. Now, he went away and left this work to the farmers, the husbandmen, the ones that are working in the vineyard here. And when he comes back, he wants to see how much work we did, if we were interested in his work, or if we were just a bunch of flakes and just were more interested in something else. Let me tell you, if God's blessing us, it's not for you. It's for the church work. Not for people to put a bunch of contact lenses on. I don't wear contact lenses and I've got very bad eyes. Just whatever you can grab from the Lord. Instead of feeling the way that you're supposed to, that you are called to do a work for him, not him to do for you. He said, do the things that I want you to do and then all things will be added unto you. Amen?
Amen.
He's not your boy. You're supposed to be his boy or his girl. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
John 14:15-18. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter.
In other words, he'll send the Spirit to you. He's promising the Spirit, and that's what Joel is saying. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so he says it right there, that the promise of the Spirit is prophesied by Joel. Then what else?
He shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even
not just on you, but in you, with you. Then what?
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John 16:5-24. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away.
Yeah, because if I don't go away, I won't become the Holy Spirit. I will not be able to descend down into you and live in you. I have to go to the kingdom of heaven so I can become the Spirit. I am confined to just one place here now. But if I go away, I will be able to move in you, and all of you will be able to have me in you. And there's no closer relation than that. It's husband and wife. In you. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you.
See, if I don't go away, the Comforter, the Spirit will not be able to enter you. Then what else?
But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more.
Yeah, he could never have ascended from this earth and up into the Father if he hadn't been righteous. And we can't either if we're not righteous. If you think that he has to be righteous in order to get into heaven and you don't have to be, you're insane. Then what else?
Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself.
Right there, sir. He will guide you into all truth. That means he wants to guide his body around. Is that right?
Yes.
He will guide you. That means if you're his body, that he will guide his body. He wants to live in you as the Spirit to guide his body on earth. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, if it's his body, he has the right to guide it, doesn't he?
Yes.
Well, then you have to let him. Okay? And if you think that's evil, then you're evil. So read that again so I can kind of comment on it.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth.
So that's what I'm saying, is that we're, if we're his body, then he wants to guide his body on earth. We're here on earth. He wants to be totally involved. That means a complete surrender, a surrendering of yourself unto the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that you're going to be respected in the body, in this world. You will get no respect otherwise. Okay, either do that or be like Janet Jackson. Or Andrew Jackson. Okay, then what else?
For he shall not speak of himself.
Or Johnny Jackson. Or any other Jackson. Okay, what else?
For he shall not...
Or Michael Jackson.
For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak.
Right, And you're not supposed to think either. You're supposed to speak what the Lord is telling you to speak, all right?
Yes.
You think that's impossible, that that just belongs to one person. No, you're here to learn that, that you're supposed to be letting the Lord speak through you, all right?
Amen.
Everybody that is of the body of Christ, the Lord wants to guide you, all right? Is he guiding you into the Lord, into more of the Lord, or is he guiding you out into the world? You think the Holy Spirit's guiding you into the world?
No.
Well, that's what all these preachers on television are saying. You ought to get out into the world and get a job, you know, over at the aircraft companies and over and become lawyers and things like that and get involved in basketball, baseball, football. Is that what the Bible says?
No.
And you get involved with secular schools and into the court system. Become a judge. No, judges have to rule according to the standards of the United Nations, according to the devil. And so you would never be able to make it into a judge or an attorney. You're a ward of the courts. You have to do what they say. It isn't a matter of you going to be some shining new blade, you know, off the wall, because you won't. They won't let you get ahead. They won't let you get started. The minute you open your mouth as to what you think or something different than what they want you to say, they're going to squash you like a bug, like an ant. You know? That'll be it. Like a grape. They'll crush you just like a rose. All right, what else?
And he will show you things to come.
He will show you things to come. He will guide you. He wants to guide his body here on earth. And he will show you what to do. And he'll point things out to you. Have you ever, any of you that are walking in the Spirit, have you ever been doing something and all of a sudden the Lord will put your eyes on something and tell you, do this? Has that happened to you?
Yeah.
Happens to me all the time. Okay, then what?
He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you.
Right, the Holy Spirit is going to make you do this, is going to lead his body, you, to where it's going to glorify God. It's not going to be some, you sitting there like a frog or a toad and thinking with your miserable mind what to do, and then you do it and then flop on the ground, you know. Okay, what else?
All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father.
Okay, that's enough. They can read the rest. Okay, then what else?
At the coming of the Spirit, at Pentecost, we have the spiritual return of Christ to indwell his people and direct his body, the church.
Right, he wants to direct his body, right?
Yes.
Isn't that his, our reasonable duty to let him do that?
Yes.
Right. Okay, then what?
His literal physical return is foretold here in Joel.
All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and that was tape number one of Joel, and I expect that there's going to be several of them, just as there was with the Song of Solomon. Okay, till then, God bless you. Praise the Lord.